The expressive essence in recitative lies in its words, not in its music. Now, these dramaturgical concepts of aria and recitative find endless application in Baroque and classical era instrumental music. For example, sonata form is, in many ways, and we've discussed this, a reflection of operatic structure and operatic technique. For example, let's listen to the opening theme from the first movement of Haydn's Symphony No. 88 in G of 1788. And here's what I want you to be aware of while we listen to this theme. This music is the instrumental equivalent of an aria. It is character identification. A theme in a sonata form is the equivalent of a character in the opera house. So as we hear this theme, let's be aware that this is harmonically stable. This is tuneful. It has great character unto itself. It is an instrumental person in an instrumental opera. Immediately after the statement of that theme, we have a modulating bridge. Action music. Fragmentary music, unstable music, during which time stuff seems to happen. This would be the instrumental equivalent of recitative. So, basic to many of the instrumental genres and forms of both the Baroque era and the classical era, sonata allegro form in particular, is this contrast between lyric, harmonically stable, thematic music, and more fragmentary, less harmonically stable, transitional music, a contrast inspired, I think, by the dramatic possibilities suggested by aria and recitative. Now, as we discussed apropos of sonata allegro form, a key to following a sonata allegro form movement is learning to distinguish between stable themes, that is, characters, arias, and unstable, transitional, developmental music, action sequences, and recitative. The big point, many essential instrumental compositional techniques, which will be adapted to the world of orchestral music, including the classical era symphony, grew out of operatic practice. The new Enlightenment musical style crystallizes in and around Vienna between about 1760 and 1780. I would remind you that Vienna is the Habsburg capital. It is an ethnic and cultural melting pot located within a very musical area, north of Italy, next to Bohemia and Hungary, south of Germany. It is also in the capital. There's a tremendous number of aristocrats with lots of free time and money to spend. And music is their predominantly favored hobby. We call this style of music that develops in and around Vienna during these years the Viennese classical style. It combines elements of North and South. It combines the Italian tradition and genius for vocal melody and lyric fluidity with the German traditions of rigor and compositional logic, with the operatic principles of thematic contrast, character contrast, dramatic development, recitative and aria, systematically adapted to instrumental genres. This style, called the Viennese classical style, we haven't discussed why it's called the Viennese classical style yet, have we? I just told you why Vienna, but I haven't told you why classical. Well, better late than never, my friends. The reason why we call this style the classical style is its resemblance to classical art, that is, Greek art. And again, this was a word applied long after the fact. Someone living in the 1780s did not say to themselves, I'm so glad I'm not in the Baroque era anymore. I'm so pleased to be part of classicism. No, these terms were applied long after. So, what about the music of this Enlightenment era so resembles ancient Greek art? Why would we call the music of this era classical? Well,